Amen. I bought the first
Blog pack. Talk Radio.
Now they're charging me separate for each thing.
Oh.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please dial in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. when we our lesson will be conducted by our very own Barbara Amore. And you can call in your prayer requests at that same number, 319-527-6204. Again, we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Praise be to God. Your name endureth forever. El Elyon, which means the Most High God. In Daniel 3 and 26, and the NIV says, Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, El Elyon, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. Amen. Praise God. Most High God, we give you praise. We praise you in your sanctuary. We praise you in your mighty expense. We praise you for your awesome deeds according to your excellent greatness. We praise you with music, song, and words of admiration. Our soul makes it boast in you, El Elyon. We bless your name today, and we will forget none of your benefits. You hold the power in your hand to keep the flames of life's trials from scorching us. You have the power to save. We have not fear. We will not fear what man can do, because you are El Elyon, the Most High God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God, praise God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, you can dial in 319-527-6204 and join in our lesson. You can also give your comments or your thoughts on what the author is conveying to the listeners this evening. Amen. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection. I hope you enjoy it. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever. Amen.
Fearful and 사랑을 봐 미운 날 엎어져서 위와 Alleluia. Ah, hacia te voy, en peni fue, ni un unai, o que to so, ni a mi osorio, coco Alleluia. Alleluia.
Jehovah, you are the mighty one. You are our mighty God, the Lord. We don't have adequate words in our language to express the great and mighty aspects of you, of who you are. So we repeat the words in an attempt to give you a semblance of what is due you. You know all. You are over all. You are stronger than all and everything combined. We praise you for your power, strength, and might. And we humbly bow before you to honor your rightful place in our life as Elohim Jehovah. Praise be to God.
God had a plan to make us all.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, Trusting Me. And my scripture reading for this devotional message is coming from Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 25. And it says, Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Moriah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Moriah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, What are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. Amen. My second scripture reading is coming from Psalms chapter 31, verse 14, and it says, But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. Again, the title of this devotional message, Trusting Me, is a moment-by-moment choice. My people have not always understood this truth. After I performed miracles in the wilderness, my chosen children trusted me intensely, but only temporarily. Soon the grumbling began again, testing my patience to the utmost. Isn't it often the same way with you? You trust me when things go well, when you see me working on your behalf. This type of trust flows readily within you, requiring no exertion of your will. When things go wrong, your trust flows, slows down, and solidifies. You are forced to choose between trusting me intentionally or rebelling, resenting my ways with you. This choice constitutes a fork in the road. Stay on the path of life with me, enjoying my presence. Choose to trust me in all circumstances. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is unto me. Let us pray. El Elyon, Most High God, we see the smoke and begin to tremble when life's troubles surround us, whether in work, in our health, our finances, our family, or even in ourselves throughout anxiety, worry, or fear. Yet, you are El Elyon, and you know when even a hair falls from our head. You protect it Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were tossed to their certain death. But that sentence of death became the promise of life as you intervene. Forgive us, El Elyon, for looking only at what we can see, things that seem so certain to harm us physically or emotionally, rather than looking at you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Amen.
Trying times in my life, telling me I can't pay. yourself and answer me. You said, did you lay the earth's foundation? You said, have you command of sky and sea? Lord, I have no words, and I don't deserve your glorious love. Is more than enough. What words could I use to explain? Forever I'll trust in your glorious love. Your glorious love. Thunder, you said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have
prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received. Amen. Live on purpose. What on earth does God intend for us to do with our life? It's an easy question to ask, but for many of us, a difficult question to answer. Why? Because God's purpose are not always clear to us. Sometimes we wander aimlessly in a wilderness of our own making. And sometimes we struggle mightily against God in an unsuccessful attempt to find success and happiness through our own means, not his. If you are a woman or a man who sincerely seeks God's guidance, he will give it, but he will make his revelation known to you in a way and in a time of his choosing, not yours. So be patient. If you prayerfully petition God and walk diligently to discern his intentions, he will, in time, lead you to a place of joyful abundance and eternal peace. Sometimes God's intention will be clear to you. Other times, God's plan will seem uncertain at best. But even on those difficult days when you are unsure which way to turn, you must never lose sight of these overriding facts. God created you for a reason. He has important work for you to do, and he's waiting patiently for you to do it. And the next step, it's up to you. Yesterday is just experience, but tomorrow is glittering with purpose, and today is the channel leading from one to the other. His life is our light, our purpose and meaning and reason for living. Only God's chosen task for you will ultimately satisfy. Do not wait until it is too late to realize the privilege of serving him in his chosen position for you. How much of our lives are well so daily? How often our hours are filled with the mundane, seemingly unimportant things that have to be done, whether at home or work? These very daily tasks could become a celebration of praise. It is through consecration. Someone has said that drudgery is made divine. God is more concerned with the direction of your life than with its speed. Think about this. God has a plan for your life, a definitive purpose that you can fulfill or not. Your challenge is to pray for God's guidance and to follow wherever he leads. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, in the New King James Version says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 through 6 from the MSG Bible says, you are sons of light, daughters of day. We live under wide open skies and know where we stand. So let's not sleepwalk through life. Amen. Colossians 1 and 15 in the MSG says, we look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. Ecclesiastes 3 and 1 in the New King James Version says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we know that you have a purpose for our life, and we will seek that purpose today and every day that we live. Let our action be pleasing to you, and let us share your good news with a world that so desperately needs your healing hand and the salvation of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection, and we're going to Lift Him Up by Brian Cage. Praise God.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's bring it like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control,
and He knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory,
cause I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
in Him
and
I live, move, and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what, the problem may be,
He's in control,
and He knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
in Him I live,
and
move, and have my King.
Say like the best of people. Hallelujah. God bless you.
times, but still it escapes my mind. The grace you've shown towards me, I just can't believe how you never turned away when I pushed you far away. You're the light that breathes through me. Now I've been set free. Right, wrong seems to follow me. I still can't believe how you never let me go, how you never lost your hope. You keep proving your love to me.
Praise be to God again. We are waiting on our speaker for this evening. And while we are waiting, I will play another selection. Amen. I always like to give my speakers 15 minutes of, in case of delays. Amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another.
I live for you.
I'm lying.
said, I have said the Lord always before me. I bless your name. I bless your name. Of my faith. Come on, let's take it higher.
I'll live for you.
I'll live for you.
I'll die in you.
For I have said the Lord always before me. Because you are on my right hand, I shall not be moved. I bless your name.
David, how are you?
Blessed, thank you.
Amen. Just rushed in here. I had rehearsal.
Okay. You had 2 minutes left. I normally give you 15 minutes grace period.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Would you bring us in prayer, please?
Precious and Heavenly Father, we come again this humbly as we know how to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and to thank you for all that you are doing and all that you're going to do. We thank you for life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. We thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing our right mind, divine healing in our body. We thank you, Lord God, for this day, and we thank you for this lesson and for our teacher, and I ask that you open up our hearts, our minds, and our souls to perceive what thus says the Lord. And let this lesson be all about you and not about us. And let us all take it in stride and in good faith. And maybe we all will learn something from this lesson this evening. So bless our teacher and guide her in the way that you would have her to go. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you for that prayer on our behalf.
Amen.
Is anyone else on the line?
No, Lady will not be with us this evening. She, I think you should get the text from her, too.
Okay.
Yes, she's unable to be.
Okay, so we got to pick up where we left off from talking about conscience. In fact, I'll read that whole section. We won't go to the scriptures.
Okay.
We've done that.
Mm-hmm.
We actually ended on page 228, but I'm going to go back to 227, talking about conscience in section D.
Okay.
Conscience. The conscience is a witness within man that tells him he ought to do what he believes to be right and not to do what he believes to be wrong. Conscience does not teach us what is right or wrong, but prods us to do what we have been taught to be right. So there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't teach us what is right or wrong, but it urges us, it prods us to do what we have been taught to be right. And that means that it's not necessarily right, but
mm-hmm.
that's what we've been taught.
Amen.
So one can do what is wrong in good conscience because he has been misinformed as to what is right and wrong. And we saw that with Paul in Acts 23:1, talking about what he had done, he did it in good conscience, meaning
yes.
the persecution
yes.
of the Jews, the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So conscience appears only in the New Testament. Those functions of conscience are assigned to the heart in the Old Testament, such as 1 Samuel 24:5, Job 27:6. In the New Testament, conscience occurs most often in Paul's writings. John used the word heart, as in 1 John 3:19 through 21. The unsaved person's conscience may be a good guide, as in John 8:9 and Romans 2:15.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a good guide, or it may not be even enough. I'm sorry, it may not be even though it may seem to guide correctly, likened to unreliable brakes on an automobile. They may do their job at times, but they cannot be counted on. The Christian's conscience operates to prod him to do what is right in various relationships of life. One, it prods him to obey the government under which he lives. Romans 13:5. It tells him to bear up under an unjust employer, 1 Peter 2:18 through 19. The conscience of a weaker brother that does not permit him to eat meat sacrificed to idols should be respected by the stronger brothers. And we didn't get to these scriptures, so we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 8:7, 10, and 12 in a moment. And four, conscience may be called to witness to the depth and reality of a spiritual commitment, Romans 9:2 and 2 Corinthians 1:12 and 4:2. So we're going to talk about the conscience in relationship to the weaker brother not wanting to eat meat sacrificed to idols and how it's respected by the stronger brother. If you get 1 Corinthians 8:7, and
okay.
then 8:10 and 12. Thank you.
have to get my Bible.
I'm going to get the message. The scripture again is 1 Corinthians 8:7.
Yes. Okay. 8:7 says, however, not all believers know this. Some are accustomed to thinking of idols as being real. So when they eat food that has been offered to idols, they think of it as the worship of real gods, and their weak conscience are violated. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And let me read that in the message.
All right.
1 Corinthians 8:7 says, in strict logic, then, nothing happened to the meat when it was offered up to an idol. It's just like any other meat. I know that, and you know that. But knowing isn't everything. If it becomes everything, some people end up as know-it-alls who treat others as know-nothings. Real knowledge isn't that insensitive. Amen. So now verse 8 and 10.
8 and 10 says, where are you? Not 10. For if others see you with your superior knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, won't they be encouraged to violate their conscience by eating food that has been offered to an idol? Amen.
Oh, that's 10. Okay, mine says, for instance, say you flaunt your freedom by going to a banquet thrown in honor of idols, where the main course is meat sacrificed to idols. Isn't there great danger if someone still struggling over this issue, someone who looks up to you as knowledgeable and mature, sees you go into that banquet? The danger is that he will become terribly confused, maybe even to the point of getting mixed up himself in what his conscience tells him is wrong. Okay. Now 12.
And when you sin against other believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong, you are sinning against Christ. Absolutely.
All right. Okay. So Christ gave, my size at 11 to 13.
Okay.
Christ gave up his life for that person. Wouldn't you at least be willing to give up going to dinner for him? Because as you say, it doesn't really make any difference. But it does make a difference if you hurt your friend terribly, risking his eternal ruin. When you hurt your friend, you hurt Christ. 3 mil here and there isn't worth it at the cost of even one of these, in quotation marks, weak ones. So never go to these idol-tainted meals if there's any chance it will trip up one of your brothers or sisters. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's true. We're not supposed to, worship idols. And if you're sacrificing meat to them, then you turn around and eat that. That's a sin. And you're not supposed to encourage your other believers to go against their conscience when they know what they are doing is wrong.
Okay, and just like I just read, and you did too, they're saying that the meat is no different from any other meat because we know the idols are not real. So, but when you offer food to someone that's been first offered up to an idol, it goes against that person's conscience.
Right.
He doesn't necessarily see it as being offered to something that's inanimate. So it bothers his soul, his very being. So he can't partake of it. And this is saying, when you know that's how they call him a weak one, is being affected, and you being the stronger one, you are not to go at all to that banquet
that's
if he's
right.
going along with you, because it offends him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And we're taught not to offend our brother.
Absolutely.
You know, but it happens. They get offended, you know,
mm-hmm.
in sensitive situations. They get offended. So, thank you. Conscience may be called to witness to the depth and reality of a spiritual commitment. And we're going to do this together again. Romans 9 and 2, and then 2 Corinthians 1, 12, and 4, 2. So, first Romans 9 and 2, which was our homework assignment anyway to read Romans, but I won't get into that tonight.
Okay.
Did you get to read it?
Romans, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Romans 9 and 2
says, my heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief. Why?
Okay. And mine goes from 1 to 5. It says, I'm sorry, go on.
No, I was reading why he was saying that. That his heart
top
is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief.
Mm-hmm. This topic is God is calling his people.
Okay.
At the same time, you need to know that I carry with me at all times a huge sorrow. It's an enormous pain deep within me. And I'm never free of it. I'm not exaggerating. Christ and the Holy Spirit are my witnesses. It's the Israelites. If there were any way, I could be cursed by the Messiah so that they could be blessed by him, I'd do it in a minute. They're my family. I grew up with them. They had everything going for them. Family, glory, covenant, revelation, worship, promises, to say nothing of being the race that produced the Messiah, the Christ, who is God over everything, always. Oh, yes.
Wow.
Okay. And so, you have any thoughts about that? Talking about maybe called to witness to the depth and reality of a spiritual commitment. Any thoughts about that?
No.
Okay.
Just what you just said is like heart filling. Yeah.
I know. And then he's saying that he's sorrowful because the people that God came to, it's like family. They got the family. They got the glory, the covenants, revelation, worship, promises, to say nothing of being the race that produced the Messiah. And Christ was everything. Christ is God, over everything, always. Oh, yes.
Amen. Amen.
So this, again, is Paul speaking. Paul is speaking.
Okay.
So now we're going to go to, I'm sorry?
No, I didn't say.
2 Corinthians 1 and 12.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 1 and 12.
Okay, 12 says, we can say with confidence and a clear conscience that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity in all our dealings. We have depended on God's grace, not on our own human wisdom. That is how we have conducted ourselves before the world, and especially toward you.
Amen. And mine goes to 12 through 14, 2 Corinthians 1, says, now that the worst is over, we're pleased we can report that we've come out of this with conscience and faith intact, and can face the world, and even more importantly, face you with our heads held high.
Yes.
But it wasn't by any fancy footwork on our part. It was God who kept us focused on him, uncompromised, Yes. Don't try to read between the lines or look for hidden meanings in this letter. We're writing plain, unembellished truth, hoping that you'll now see the whole picture as well as you've seen some of the details.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to be as proud of us as we are of you when we stand together before our Master Jesus.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, we stand together.
Amen. And 4:2, 2 Corinthians.
Okay. 4:2 says, we reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest knows this. Amen.
Excuse me 1 minute. I have to get some water.
Sorry. Yes, no problem.
Thank you. I sometimes have the water right here by me, but I didn't have it tonight.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Thank you, ma'am. So that's 2 Corinthians 2. 4:2. And mine goes from 1 to 2.
Okay.
The topic is trial and torture.
Mm-hmm.
Since God has so generously let us in on what he's doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. Wow. We refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. And we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves.
Yes,
rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display,
mm-hmm.
so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves. In the presence of God.
That's right.
That's powerful. That's
yes, powerful. Because God knows everything anyway.
Right.
So why
right.
would you take what he says and twist it into your own words?
For the other person that's listening.
Yes.
And they probably think that they don't know, so they're going to say, you know, they're going to interpret it the way they want to, which is really not the way that the word is supposed to be.
Right.
So they put their own selves. They do an eisegesis. You know, they put themselves into the explanation.
Yes.
And we're not supposed to do that. You know.
No, we're not.
And I know sometimes it's done, you know, in ignorance. You know, you do
yes.
it by mistake because you
yes.
really don't understand it, you know, for mm-hmm. yourself. But that's not what it's talking about. I think it's saying when people purposefully interpret
yes.
it.
Yeah.
You know, to fit in you. And it's not really what the word is saying. That's why it says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yeah, because Paul condemned those who twist God's word, preachers,
mm-hmm.
teachers, and anyone else who talks about Jesus Christ must remember
right.
that they stand in God's presence. He hears
right.
every word. Many Christian ministers and leaders twist scripture in their
mm-hmm.
attempt to motivate audience, just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Others
yep.
take scripture out of context to promote their own views, just like
exactly.
you said. When you
exactly.
tell people about Christ, be careful not to distort the message to please your audience. Proclaim the
That's
truth.
It.
Of God's word.
That is it.
Powerful.
That is the truth.
Yes.
And we have to tell the truth even if it hurts the
yes.
listener.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it hurts us and it's not intentionally, we just tell them the truth.
Exactly.
You know, and sometimes you kind of want to hold back and say, well, maybe not now or Okay, so you can wait and tell it, but to leave it out there as an untruth and let it go on, when you get back to it, the person that you're trying to correct may not even recall what it is that you're talking about.
Exactly.
You know? Mm-hmm. So you need to do it as it comes up. That's my opinion. You need to do it as you see.
Yeah.
It's not being done right. And it may hurt. You may lose a friend. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But God is about to say
when you follow Christ, you're gonna lose a lot of people, including your family members.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Because people don't want to hear the truth.
They don't want to give up things.
No.
They don't want to change their way of living and having fun and whatever they call fun. Mm-hmm. They want to continue, and they may go to church. They may go to church on Sunday once a week or whatever, but that's not the full way of devoting yourself to God. He needs you more than once a week.
Absolutely.
Not that he needs you, but you need him. You need him
especially
more than once a week.
Going on in the world today. We need to
particularly now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But we go on.
Okay.
And talking about section E, which is mind. This we didn't get into, so this will be ending the chapter if I do get to the end of it.
Yeah.
Mind. Like conscience, mind is more specifically a New Testament concept. In the Old Testament, heart is usually the word behind the translation mind. So in the Old Testament, when we talked about heart, we were talking about mind. Mind includes both the faculties of perceiving and understanding, talking about the mind, perceiving and understanding, as well as those of feeling, judging, and determining. Fornio, nous, or nos, and sunesis, and fornio, pronounced frono, means, do you know what it means offhand?
No.
Okay. Well, I looked it up. So,
it's in, what is that, Greek?
Well, it's in the Old Testament, so more than likely it's Hebrew.
Hebrew. Okay. Nope. Don't know.
It's in the Old Testament. But wait a second. And determining, understanding, and determining phonos, nos, sunos, principles, New Testament words. So this is New Testament words. So it could be Aramaic.
Oh.
Or Greek.
Oh.
All right. So it's not in the Old Testament. I stand corrected. I'm reading, more. So chrono, which is P-H-R-O-N-E-O, pronounced frono, means think, T-H-I-N-K.
Think?
Noose, think, to think. And noose, or nos, as you would say it in French, new, means common sense.
Oh.
New means common sense. Frono means think. And sunesis means wisdom. So these are the principal New Testament words for this concept of mind. Think, common sense, and wisdom. So the unsaved man's mind is said to be reprobate, Romans 1:28 in the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would get that, not now, but if you get that, I want you to read that. And we're going to read
38
in different translations like we did. It means said, vain and huh?
Romans what?
1:28.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
It means vain, as in Ephesians 4:17 in the King James Version. Defiled in Titus 1:15, blinded, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and darkened in Ephesians 4:18. Further, he is without that critical faculty represented by sunesis. Sunesis, again, means wisdom, as we see in Romans 3:11. So the unsaved man's mind can be all these things, reprobate, vain, defiled, blinded, darkened, and without wisdom.
Mm.
So if you look Romans 1 and 28,
okay.
First.
28 says, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done.
Mm.
Wow. okay, whatever y'all.
And mine says, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it goes from 28 to 32, so I'll read a bit of it, but not the whole thing. So since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, God quit bothering them and let them run loose. And then all hell broke loose, rampant evil, grabbing and grasping, vicious backbiting. They made life hell on earth with their envy, wanton killing, bickering, and cheating. My God. Look at them, mean-spirited, venomous, fork-tongued, God-bashers, bullies, swaggers, insufferable windbags. They keep inventing new ways of wrecking lives, And that's what's going on today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They ditch their parents when they get in the way. Stupid, slimy, cruel, cold-blooded. And it's not as if they don't know better. They know perfectly well they're spitting in God's face.
Yes.
And they don't care.
No.
Worse, they hand out prizes to those who do the worst things ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the worst things best.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Romans 28 through 32. That's today. That, my Lord.
Definitely today.
My God.
That is everything that's going on today in this world, this day.
Yes. Ephesians 4 and 17. That is so powerful.
Ephesians 4 and 17. Okay. Living as children of light. Okay, 17. Chico. Stop. Oh my God, somebody's in the hallway.
Okay.
Chico, be quiet.
Good God, darling.
Yes, he is. Okay, 17 says, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Hopelessly. Oh,
wow.
Hopelessly.
There's no hope.
Chico.
There's no hope. You can't help them.
No.
You can't help them.
No, you can't.
Ephesians 4 and 17, let me get that. I was writing down that Romans 1, 26 through 32. I went up a portion.
Okay.
That
is powerful.
Powerful. Right.
Ooh, good chapter and verse. Very powerful.
Yeah. Woo. So Ephesians 4 and 17 from the message says, and the old way has to go. That's the topic. And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. And that was 17 through 19.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. The old way has to go.
That's right.
Definitely. had to go. Titus 1 and 15.
Titus. Titus 1 and 15. Everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and conscience are corrupted. Whoa.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
My Lord.
Am I 10 to 16? For there are a lot of rebels out there, full of loose, confusing, and deceiving talk. Those who were brought up religious and ought to know better are the worst. They've got to be shut up. They're disrupting entire families with their teaching, and all for the sake of a fast buck. One of their own prophets said it best. The Cretans are liars from the womb, barking dogs, lazy belly. He certainly spoke the truth. Get on with them right away. Get on them right away, excuse me. Stop that diseased talk of Jewish make-believe and made-up rules so they can recover a robust faith. Everything is clean to the clean-minded. Nothing is clean to dirty-minded unbelievers. They leave their dirty fingerprints on every thought and act. They say they know God, but their actions speak louder than their words.
That's
They're
right.
real clean. Disobedience is for nothing. Whew. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Lord, these scriptures are powerful tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Every word of it is true.
Lord, Lord. We got to read the last scripture, which is Romans 3 and 11, and I'm going to end it right there for tonight, because I had some homework that I wanted Lady Nadine to hear, but I'm going to read it anyway. It was in reference to something she had said.
Oh, okay.
I'll read it anyway, but we're going to look at Romans 3 and 11.
Okay.
We didn't cover too much tonight, but what we covered.
That's enough tonight. But we just finished reading that thing is enough. Oh my
God.
Romans 3:11 says, no one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. That's all it says. No
Amen.
One is truly wise. No one is seeking God.
I see. And mine goes from 9 to 20, but I can spot that portion that you just read.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, there's nobody living right. Excuse me. Not even one. Nobody who knows the score. Nobody alert for God.
Mm-hmm.
And I just read one more line.
You okay?
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. They've all taken the wrong turn. They've all wandered down blind alleys.
Mm-hmm.
No one's living right. I can't find a single one. Their throats are gaping graves. Their tongues slick as mudflies. Every word they speak is tinged with poison. They open their mouths and pollute the air. They race for the honor of center of the year. Live the land with heartbreak and ruin. Don't know the first thing about living with others. They never give God the time of day. Oh, Lord.
Woo!
Oh, my God.
The time of day they would give him.
This is Romans. We talked about Romans. That's a powerful book in itself. But,
yes.
Oh, my Lord. Woo!
Yes, it is. Very powerful. When if you read from 1 to how far it goes, the whole book of Romans is like the truth that Paul is telling us. Truth, Change our wicked ways. Turn back.
Yes.
God.
It's telling us about ourselves.
Yes.
Romans, telling us about ourselves.
Absolutely.
Glory to God.
Glory
Ooh.
To
God. God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
So I'm going to take this minute. I know we had talked about reading Romans 8 for homework.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look at it in the message, but that's okay, too.
Yeah.
I had talked about where was Jesus from? You were there Sunday when the question was asked.
Uh-huh. In Romans.
Do you
8?
Know where he was coming from when all this transpired?
Well, I always thought he was coming from Jerusalem, but he wasn't coming to Jerusalem.
No, he was going to Jerusalem.
Oh, going to Jerusalem and coming
to Jerusalem.
Was he coming from Nazareth?
You better, yeah. He was coming from Galilee.
Right, that's it.
But,
yeah, but
they used to.
What did Lady Nadine say?
Said he was coming from Bethpage.
Right.
And I wanted her to hear, because I had to go back, you know, to chapter 21 is where it started, but I had to go back like five chapters to find out. To chapter 5 of Matthew, really, is when he did the Beatitudes, right?
Right.
5-7. When he did the Beatitudes, he was in Galilee.
Yes.
So when he got up from doing the Beatitudes, the multitude followed him.
Right.
To Jericho, to Capernaum, to Bethpage, and finally to Jerusalem. So to make it succinct, but I'm going to still read it, he was coming from Galilee. And that's what I had said. He was coming from Galilee.
But she
okay?
said.
I'm trying to find Matthew 21, which talks about Bethpage. But it's not that he was there. That's when they came nigh that stage.
Yeah, 21 is saying that Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey.
Right, so let me read what I'm talking about. It says, when they neared Jerusalem, having arrived at Bethpage on Mount Olives, Jesus sent two disciples with these instructions, and it goes on. But that's what I wanted to clarify. He wasn't coming from Bethpage. He was arriving at Bethpage. Okay?
Oh.
And he was coming from Galilee, like I said, when he was giving they call it the Galilean ministry, because that's how the multitude was following him from Galilee. And he picked up others along the way because they saw the miracles and all of that. You
right.
know, the healing of everybody that he healed. And so I just want to go on.
No, I was going to say that was during in 20 was when he started healing.
Right. Well, he was talking about it. He was doing miracles at the Beatitudes because he fed them, the 5,000.
Right.
Because he didn't want them to go anywhere. They didn't have enough money probably anyway. The disciples didn't. So he did that miracle. But let me just read. Where was Jesus and his disciples coming from? Matthew 20 and 29 says, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, but that wasn't the answer. Chapter 21 and 1 says, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and will come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, verse 2, saying unto them, which I just read it, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. So I was saying to see Luke 4:44, where it says, and he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. This is what happened at first. He was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. When he finished talking about the Beatitudes and all of that kind of stuff on the Mount of Olives, then he left and the multitude followed him. So, again, they went to these different places, and I don't have it in order, but they went to Jericho, Capernaum, Bethpage, and even Samaria, I think they passed through. But Matthew 4:23-5:1, before preaching the Beatitudes, that's what I want us to look at, talking about where he was. So Jesus' ministry was called Galilean ministry because he came from Galilee. And at the end of him coming into Galilee and they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, they said, behold, a man from Galilee. Hold on one second. Let me just get my study food so I don't have to look for it that hard.
Okay.
It says, this is Malachi 21:9. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. This is from the King James Version. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. Okay, and the NLT says, and the crowd replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So that's why he was known as the, it was known as the Galilean ministry of Jesus.
Okay.
So that's, you know, that's saying again, they recognized him as the man from Galilee because that's where he was coming from during this time.
Right. Okay.
So I have to bring it up again next time.
Yes, please, because you know, she's gonna be looking forward to it.
You think so?
Yeah, because you told her that you're gonna look it up.
I did?
Yeah, didn't you?
No, I didn't say anything. I just looked at for my own. It didn't sit right.
Okay.
I didn't tell her. I just
looked it up for her to show
I
her.
Did look it up for her because she was misinformed. But okay. I didn't tell her that. I just accepted it at the time, but it didn't feel right. That's why I had to research it.
Okay. No, I get
it. It didn't feel right. So he's the man from Galilee. And this is where he was coming from when they came to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
Okay. Praise be to God.
Want to clarify that? Yes. Yes. Anyway, thank you for being here. I'll take us out in prayer. You have any other questions before we?
No. It was a wonderful lesson. I enjoyed all the scriptures and
what
Paul was saying. It really, really, you know, touched my spirit because
yes,
that stuff.
Mine too.
Yes.
If all hearts and minds are clear, precious and heavenly Father,
yes.
Once more again, a few of your humble servants come to say, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for opening up our minds to understanding the things that you're telling us in your word.
Yes.
To make it clear so we can understand and perceive what it is that you've gone through.
Yes,
and
no.
Looking at it on first glance, yeah, it seems obvious, but we have to search your word in order to get the true understanding. It's not just a surface thing. Your word is deep.
Yes,
your word
is
positive. Your word is truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at your word, we just want to get the understanding again of what you are. yes. what you are about so that it can help us and help us help ourselves. And in helping ourselves, we can help others.
Mm-hmm.
So again, Lord, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Thank you for this wonderful lesson this evening. Thank you for Evangelist Hilda. Thank you for Chico. Thank you for all the people who are with us tonight, and First Lady Nadine, who wasn't able to join us. Bless each and every person. Bless their family. Bless their children and their grandchildren and their great-grands. Bless them, Father God. Love on them, Lord God.
Yes.
Touch those who need to be touched, and that's all of us.
Yes.
Heal us where we need to be healed, and that's all of us.
Yes.
Whatever it is, spiritual, financial, mental, physical, whatever that is, that affliction, heal us, Lord God.
Lord.
And we thank you in advance for doing it, because you're such an awesome God. You're so good to us. Lord, again, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough for your unconditional love, your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your compassion, just caring about us, Father, looking out for us, protecting us, guiding us, leading us, and opening doors for us, and shutting other doors for us. We thank you.
Thank
you for doing it, Lord God. We thank you. You're such a great God. You're such a wonderful God. And, Lord, if there's anything I have omitted for the best of it, Lord God, we know that you will see to having your will done in it. So bless us in this holy week, Lord. We appreciate you. Thank you for going to the Christ to save a wretch like me, Lord God. We thank you for doing what you've done and for what you continue to do. We love you so very much, so dear, so dearly. And God, again, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So keep us and bless us. Guide us and we will be guided. Keep us and bless us and we will be blessed. So in Jesus' name, all of these blessings I ask in his master's name. To God be the glory.
Hallelujah,
amen.
Jesus.
Thank
you,
Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Beautiful. Thank you,
God.
Well, we
thank you.
Every blessing
Hallelujah.
That you have sent out from your lips to God's ears. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Husband Kissman, love
thank you.
Stay safe. And God willing, I will be speaking with you, I guess, on Saturday, right?
Yep.
Nothing's changed for me, but okay. God willing, speak with you then, if not before, okay?
Okay. Thank you. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.
You too. You
it's
too. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You too.
I will.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you too.
Shalom.
And we are out.